This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, is on the WBEN TroCare College Liveline. Markets sank yesterday on new tariffs. Mark, what are you seeing this morning? Are there any indications of things changing at all?
Not right now, Susan. Looks like another down open with the major stock market averages. And so, well, nothing has changed in a positive way. In fact, China, as you referenced, has announced its own response to this with essentially an equal measure of tariffs against U.S. imported goods coming into their country. So this is what a trade war looks like, and there are casualties.
Treasury yield is down as well. Investors are going to bonds. I mean, what is the smart reaction, if there is one, to what we've seen yesterday and are expected to maybe see today?
Investors don't have a crystal ball that, you know, can help them see through the fog of this trade war. But what they do know is that the immediate obvious impacts are a greater likelihood of recession, higher prices. Recessions or economic downturns tend to produce situations where people lose employment, lose income. And when you're talking about essentially every country in the world affected, and we're going to be in for these responses coming in from our traditional trading partners, this weighs on corporate profitability in a big way. You know, we saw Restoration Hardware stock sink about 50%. We saw many international companies that have exposure to manufacturing in the targeted country see their stocks down 20%, the likes of Nike, Adidas, where, you know, Vietnam had become a bit of a safe haven for manufacturing, moving out of China. And now Vietnam gets hit with this 46% tariff. And so then the question is, you know, where can you hide? And maybe Canada and Mexico answers that to some degree, but that isn't done without a great deal of expenditure. And the other problem is that this continues to fall under the realm of uncertainty to a degree, because people don't have a high degree of confidence that this policy is sustainable, and that includes politically. We know that sort of some in the Congress are beginning to crack on the GOP side. Whether they actually do anything is another question. But as we see the economic impacts of this actually filter into the real economy, in other words, showing up in things like jobs reports and the like, that's where you know, the political pressure hits the road. And do people have a stomach to be able to withstand these declines in the stock market and the impacts on the economy? And that's a question that can only be answered with the passage of time.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Mark, factories can't be built overnight in this country, and labor doesn't just appear with the flip of a switch. I mean, how do we get to the other side of this?
That's the problem. We also can't grow bananas, can't grow coffee, can't grow avocados 24/7, 365. And there are just some industries where officials are saying it's not going to happen to the extent that supporters of this policy would say that it is. And, you know, the other part is, think about us as consumers, where, you know, in a sense, we've been part of this grand bargain for decades, where, you know, we had the manufacturing move out of the United States. It happened in Buffalo. It happened all over the United States and in my hometown area in Kansas. You know, my wife, Jeannie, as you know, former Jean Galanca from Niagara Falls, seeing all that move out from up there. And the other part of that we partook in was as consumers, where we got, you know, lower prices for goods. And, you know, we're very much sort of steeped in that tradition. And the question is, okay, let's just say hypothetically, everything that goes into an iPhone then is manufactured at some point in the United States. Well, what is the price of that product, right? Or what is the same of the comparable Nike or Adidas product that comes into the U.S.? Same for an automobile. So these are not issues. These are issues that are not easily resolved. And in some cases, we don't think they will be resolved in the way that the president would suggest.
There's no way this doesn't result in higher prices, right? I mean, if this results in more things made in America, it's still through higher prices. You're raising the price of everything else to make things made in America more competitive.
Well, that's what I was saying about the notion of building an iPhone in the U.S., but you don't have to wait until that would be point in time for that to happen. You know, if you're talking about you know, constructing things just with the tariffs, businesses have to pass some of that along to consumers. They can't swallow all of that. You know, many industries operate on low profit margins. The grocery industry, the retail industry are good examples where there's low single digit profit margins, which translates to the fact that, you know, they just don't have the money sitting in the bank that says, oh, okay, we're going to pay, you know, this much more for the things that we're bringing into the U.S. on cargo ships. That's just not the way it works. And so some will be able to absorb a piece of it. But, you know, I think if you're an auto dealer, you know, sitting north of Buffalo, you're saying, well, we're probably going to have to eat some of this. We're going to try to pass along some of this to our customers and maybe to some degree the manufacturer or the, you know, the brand can absorb some of it as well. But this is sort of the definition of shared pain. And of course, the other pain is what's going to radiate out into the real economy and what we're already seeing in the financial markets.
Mark, as you mentioned, you're familiar with Buffalo. We have ties here and Buffalo is a border city. A lot of businesses are very integrated with businesses in southern Ontario. Could we face a bigger hit here than other parts of the country?
I think so, unfortunately, Susan. And, you know, we can think years and years ago about how a lot was said about how Buffalo and Western New York would benefit from the North American Free Trade Agreement. And I'll leave it to others to tell us how that worked out. But there's no question that there are some ties that bind economically, financially, between particularly Southern Ontario and Western New York. And, you know, one of the things we're already seeing is less international travel by Canadians coming into the United States. And you can understand why. You know, there's a lot of hostility, I don't think, against American people, essentially all of us, but there's a great deal of hostility on the Canadian side with respect to what they feel is mistreatment on the part of the American government, essentially targeting their government. And by the way, they had negotiated as part of the agreement that President Trump sought in his first administration, you know, a successor to NAFTA. And so they're saying, well, we did what you wanted us to do, right? And it's also very confusing at times because we've heard this discussion at first that, well, it's all about the drug trade. We really need to get that taken care of. And then it's about immigration. And now it's about these trade barriers, which, by the way, for those who really are interested in this, I'd recommend that you read a little bit because it would take more time about the formula the administration used to come up with these tariffs. These are not reciprocal tariffs. It is not a reflection of the actual trade barriers these countries have in place. It's actually a reflection, as they did the would-be calculation, just the difference in imports that our countries have. And you can't expect somewhere like Bangladesh or Vietnam to buy as much from the United States as we buy from them. We're the wealthiest country on the planet. Our consumers, you know, buy lots of things. And those countries, it's just not going to happen, leaving aside the question of whether we're producing the things that they want to buy.
Even Canada, you think, you know, 40 million people up there, 340 million people down here, there's probably going to be a disparity. Mark, thank you for joining us. Always appreciate it. Mark Hamrick with Bankrate.